Welcome back, Red Spotters, to Red Spotlight Podcast. I'm your host, Alexis Soto, joined by David Francisco, the podcast that brings you all of the stories coming out of the world of movies and so much more. Of course, we're coming off the heels of what may have been the longest, and I mean in terms of like duration and length here, podcast we may have ever recorded. Literally a 4 hour and 31 minute podcast, which was our previous episode number 408. Discussing a lot of news that came out of Comic-Con, you know, mainly Marvel, which, you know, to be fair, there's a lot of Marvel stuff that, you know, came out recently. And so we're back here this week for a little bit of a lighter fare. So this is going to be episode 409. David and I are here, and it's kind of, in some ways, an epilogue, if there even could be, considering that was a 4.5 hour show, but we're going to try here. David will have his thoughts on, you know, the stuff that came out of Comic-Con, what he's looking forward to, what maybe, you know, excites him not really at all. And then, addressing more things of that sort. A bit of a programming note, of course, in episode 410, which would be our next podcast, Peter and I will be getting into Jordan Peele's latest film, Nope, which I feel really bad for because no one's talking about the film really anymore because so much news has broke with, you know, with Comic-Con and Marvel, and then, of course, HBO Max is dead, which that will also be discussed in the next podcast. That will provide hopefully more nuance. And I think, look, as I mentioned to David before the fact, I really do, with this podcast, hope to provide much more nuance, much more context than the average, you know, person out there that talks about, like, how, you know, about the things that we talk about, but doesn't really get anywhere close to providing, you know, the viewer with the, I guess, the big picture overall. And I feel like over the years, we've done a pretty good job of, you know, doing just that. So that's the programming for this month. And yeah, that's where we are. This is episode 409. So David, first and foremost, I do want to congratulate you. I don't know, maybe you and your sister, who knows, maybe even Sergio. I mean, we can't really know for sure, but congratulate you two for, I know maybe she has, I don't know if she has, I'm just speaking out of my ass at this point, but congratulate you two on somehow being able to finish a 4.5 hour podcast. how did you enjoy it? How did you react when you saw the fucking runtime of it?
I was just mainly surprised because, I mean, I knew you had a lot, you were going to have a lot to say about Comic-Con and everything, but I just didn't think it was going to be that long. I thought at the very least 3 hours, 3.5, but, you know, just an extra hour long.
4.5.
Yeah.
Half an hour more and it would have been 5 hours. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. It really is. But in my view, I definitely had a lot to say in terms of like where, you know, Marvel is right now. And it's not just like a one size fits all statement you can say to what's going on. There's a lot. I feel a lot of people aren't really discussing when it comes to Marvel Studios and their projects. And, you know, I feel like, I mean, I even warned people at the top of the podcast, like, hey, we're probably not gonna, you know, say nice things about 99% of what was announced. So, and I feel I was correct in that because, and also, not that I was expecting, you know, the opposite to be true. I kind of expected to be disappointed with what was announced. And so I was. But I want to get your thoughts on the matter quite clear. So, what did you make, basically, of Marvel's presentation at Hall H? Now, if you'd like, you can get into, you know, trailers or, you know, project analysis. But overall, what did you make of what they had to offer?
I mean, overall, honestly, it just doesn't really capture me much, especially because some of the new ones coming out, I feel like are kind of unnecessary. Like, what is it?
Which ones?
Echo, Coven of Chaos. honestly, Thunderbolts doesn't grab my attention all that much, especially because they keep killing off their villains, and so it's just kind of like, okay, which villain here is gonna like which one am I really gonna care about, you know? You know, with the Suicide Squad, you know, James Gunn went with the silliness of it, you know, like he got Polka Dot Man on it, and we're all kind of like, what the fuck are you gonna do with him? You know, and like he even thought the same thing. It's just he literally said that he looked it up, what's the dumbest villain in DC or something like that. And so I just don't,
they keep killing off their villains, but I would also say, and I think you feel the same way as well, and that is, well, there's not really much of a selection to pick from. For one, yes, Marvel's, you know, they kill off most of their villains, but then even then, they're not really that captivating. And I think, like, here's the biggest contrast, and why the Suicide Squad films work is DC Comics has every villain imaginable and then some. I mean, they have so many villains to pick from. Like, look how many of them were in James Gunn's Suicide Squad. I'm not even just talking about, like, the main team. Look at the first team that was, like, so unceremoniously killed off as an actual Suicide Squad. There were so many characters. And then also, I point to Harley Quinn. Look at how many villains are in all of DC Comics that are, like, memorable and likable. They have enough villains to pick from that they even had an episode in season 3 where they had an award show for the for all of the villains in DC. That was the whole episode, literally. Like, Harley and Ivy were nominated for, like, best couple. Like, that, by the way, that was an amazing episode. I don't know if you saw it.
Oh, I haven't seen the newest one.
So yeah, because, like, Harley Quinn just dropped its last week, its first 3 episodes of season 3. And oh my goodness, that was a great concept. But you see, I think that kind of, like, brings the disparity between DC and Marvel when it comes to villains. DC, they can make, like, the Suicide Squad work because they have so many villains to pick from. Now, you can say about Marvel Comics, they can maybe work in the comic world, but if we're talking about the MCU, really, how many villains can you name?
Yeah.
And a lot of these, are they really villains? More so that they are anti-heroes, like a Yelena or a US Agent.
Also, it's just, I mean, with DC, I mean, I haven't read a lot of DC or Marvel comics, so, like, I could be completely wrong here. But I feel like just DC, every superhero in that world has its own memorable rogues gallery, you know? Like, the Flash, it has, like, Captain Cold, it has Reverse Flash, and just, like, a whole bunch of more that I can't really name.
I mean, I'm sure they had a lot to pull from to make 9 broadcast seasons of a TV show for The Flash.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And they utilized them pretty well. Some of them, the villains that they turned them good and all that, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, they used quite a lot. At least for, like, B villains, the big ones were. I think that might have been hard to pull for them. Yeah, but I mean, either way, for sure, Arrow had, like, a lot of cool villains on it. No, I don't think it was mainly, like, his and all that. But with Marvel, though, I think the only one that does have, like, a really good rogues gallery is Spider-Man, which Marvel Studios can't pull from at all. So they're kind of screwed on that part.
Yeah, Spider-Man has a lot of great villains, but, I mean, more to the point of what you just said, I mean, I think Peter and I were even struggling ourselves to come up with a whole roster for Thunderbolts. We know it's going to involve Wyatt Russell as, you know, U.S. Agent John Walker. We know Florence Pugh will come back as Yelena Belova. And I think the obvious one also happens to be Daniel Bruhl as Zemo. Okay, who else? Literally, who else? Who's next? I mean, those are the obvious ones, but, like, who's next?
The only one that should have happened was Red Hulk, but that's by
William Hurt, who just passed away, sadly. Yeah. Now
they can recast.
That's the thing. Like, I think they might have to because, like, why are they called the Thunderbolts? Well, Thunderbolt Ross, he's the founder, basically. Unless not anymore, and I mean, I don't know. It seemed that Red Hulk was for sure going to be a thing, and I guess they could still have Red Hulk, just recast the actor. I mean, it's fine. They've done that several times before. Look at Hugo Weaving. He didn't come back to play Red Skull in Infinity War and Endgame, but you couldn't really tell, could you? So I guess that's the benefit of having a character completely in makeup or as a CG effect. But clearly, I can't think of anybody else. I think, again, I mentioned it at the when we were discussing Black Panther, but you know who would have been a great addition to the Thunderbolts? Fucking Claw. Andy Serkis.
Oh my god, that's so true. Dude.
But guess what? They fucking killed him. Mm-hmm. They fucking wasted him. God, Ulysses Claw was such a good villain. Mm-hmm. Like, how many villains in the MCU have there been where they just reveled in being a shitty person and you know, came off so well? It was fucking Andy Serkis. And guess what? They put a bullet in his head. That one, I have to say, of all of the villains that have been killed off, that's the one that pissed me off the most. Because there was so much potential with the kind of charisma that Andy Serkis. And guess what? If you kept him around, hey, perfect candidate for Thunderbolts.
Yeah, for sure.
Perfect. With his connection to the black market and the underground world, perfect. But no, I guess, okay, well then, we got to keep looking. Who else? All right, what have been the recent villains? Well, Wanda, no, she can't. She doesn't fit this, first of all, but even, I guess she's dead, whatever. She's not, but that's what they want to make us believe, that she's dead. Okay, well, there's Agatha. But again, I don't think Agatha would really fit the bill for what this team is. Okay, but at least she's alive.
I think I can see more in it, but...
But he's a sorcerer. Like, I think, like, the Thunderbolts have to be a more grounded, like, you know, street level, kind of like, okay, sure, Mordo, but like, again, Mordo, we haven't touched on him at all. There was even a whole, like, even in Multiverse of Madness, the Mordo from our, you know, 616 universe is not even around. So, again, there's not really much to say on, like, where he is. Okay, then who's, I guess they could put a Skrull in there. Maybe, considering like what happens after a Secret Invasion, which that's a whole other thing. Nobody knows what's going on. All right. Well, Vulture maybe, but then again, well, honestly, that wouldn't be bad because Michael Keaton's out of work lately. he was supposed to come back as Batman in two projects and it looks like that's not going to happen. So I know both of them, I think, are just gone. So if Michael Keaton wants to come back to this kind of like work, I mean, and I know, technically speaking, they banished him to the Morbius verse, if you want to call it that. But who gives a fuck? Just bring him back. I think Vulture would work nicely with this group. I mean, that's a character. Why not? Help me out, David. I'm really struggling. I don't know who else I can name.
just all the ones he named. I
guess they could do, if not Red Hulk, they can also have Blonsky.
Oh, yeah.
Who will be making an appearance in She-Hulk from what the trailer suggests. I don't know if any Daredevil villains qualify. I know the only people that have come back are Charlie Cox and Vincent D'Onofrio, but...
I mean, they can.
I don't know.
There's the third season, the final one that you didn't watch.
Bullseye?
Yeah, Bullseye. He can come back.
Right. But that would suggest that Kevin Feige would want him to come back. That's a whole different other issue. Again, like, they're kind of hamstrung, but, like, what they're willing to pull from and what they're not wanting to pull from. Okay, well, again, who are we left with? I'm struggling here. The Flag Smashers are not a thing anymore, so that's done.
I mean, some of the villains in the Netflix shows, I know Luke Cage... you know, that first season he had like a brother or something, like a half brother,
right?
He's still alive, but they never did anything with after him.
He could be fun.
Yeah,
he was a lot of fun. Yeah, I don't know. So you see how it's like, it's hard to see the longevity of this like particular franchise. If for the first film, I can't even tell you who they're going to get.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It just seems like that one just kind of seems like a bit of a mess. But yeah. Anyway, but from the other projects, Guardians 3, I'm excited about. You know, it's James Gunn's the last one. And from what I've heard, I'm actually kind of happy about it. Apparently Rocket's going to play a big role.
As he should. And I think as was teased. I mean, I think if you look at Guardians Volume 2, he leveled up to, I mean, he was always a main character. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Rocket very much is the embodiment of who James Gunn is as a person. So it would make the most sense that Rocket would have a big role.
I mentioned this before, but like the reason he took Guardians in the first place was because of Rocket. He actually found it ridiculous at first, you know, talking raccoon, talking tree. But then when he thought, oh, like what if the raccoon was like forced to be experimented on and that's how he became bitter, you know?
Right.
And so it was because of that idea that the whole movie came about, and apparently they're gonna go deep into that, you know, into that backstory. So I'm kind of excited, and I don't know if I mentioned it in the podcast or it was just by myself, but like I actually did hope that Rocket would become the leader of the Guardians by the third one.
You did mention this, yeah.
Yeah, and so I'm hoping that would happen in this one. Honestly, I really hope that he brings up like Endgame stuff in the third one, like because Rocket was by himself, he was with Nebula for like for those 5 years and all that. So I'm curious, like how much he stepped up on his own during those 5 years, or like they teased the Endgame like fucking Star-Lord and Thor were gonna have like this little leadership battle between the two of them, but I was hoping that it would be Rocket and Star-Lord instead.
Yeah, as we mentioned, Marvel teases a lot of things. Let me just say, first of all, with Guardians 3 is concerned, a lot of Kyle seems to have this belief that that Rocket having a larger role indicates he'll die. I don't think that's what's going to happen. If anything, there are some other characters who I think are more primary candidates for dying. First of all, I'm really torn about, like, I don't even know what they're going to do with Gamora and Quill. I think what I heard, I can't say if this was true, but what I heard is Gamora is now the leader of the Ravagers and that they're hunting down the Guardians, which, okay. I love those two together as a couple. I don't know how in the span of a movie you can make all that, you know, reconcile. I don't know what's going to happen. So it's tough. But I think what Gunn clarified is there still is going to be like a Guardians of the Galaxy team. It's just not going to be this one. So you could see where most of the Guardians retire or die or something, and maybe Rocket could lead a new team. And he can still do this.
I think Rocket and Nebula are going to lead the new Guardians, and it's going to combine with the Ravagers, because if you remember that end credit scene of Stallone and his like team and all that coming together, like they can be in it.
Oh yeah.
I think the one that's likely to die is Drax, because I mean the actor, he said he was done with these movies, so you know that's an easy pick right there.
Right.
And I think just in case, he'll have Gamora and Star-Lord either retire, or maybe they're just going to go off on their own.
Right.
Do their own thing. But yeah. And then Groot, you know, I'm sure he'll probably stay and all that. I don't think he's going to be able to kill him off.
Not again, anyway. Yeah. No, I mean, that project is so... I think that one stands out more so than any of the other ones because... Look, I feel like a lot of Marvel fans, and if you're listening, you know, with all due respect, I feel like your priorities are so misplaced. Guardians Volume 2, I think, ranks among the best Marvel movie ever made because it is not concerned with, like, what universe it belongs to. It is concerned with telling a story about characters and spending time with these characters and making you actually try to feel things. And I think Guardians 3 will be no less. It may even be better than that. Considering how much James Gunn has been leveling up as a filmmaker, I thought The Suicide Squad was his best directed, not the best movie, but the best directed film he made. And then I also think Peacemaker was outstanding. It really was. So look, considering James Gunn's trajectory, he is somehow able to make the stories he wants to tell exactly the way he wants to tell it. with the constraints of, you know, belonging to a cinematic universe. And that's all I care about. And it kind of makes me feel a little bit. I'm excited for it, but then what I'm not looking forward to is certain people out there who didn't like Guardians 2 very much also being like very whatever on Guardians 3 and saying, yeah, it was nice, but it didn't do anything for me as far as the overall universe, even though clearly the film does not give a fuck where it belongs to, or, you know, fulfilling like whatever storyline you want for an overall, you know, overarching TV show. So that's something that I'm not looking forward to myself, but nevertheless.
Honestly, I'm worried that we're going to get like a Thor Love and Thunder thing that people are just like, oh, it's a James Gunn movie, and just not find it.
And move on. Yeah. Because that's exactly what happened with Guardians 2, right? Like, they said that and then they all moved on, because how often is that film ever discussed? How often is it ever brought up? Never. Mm-hmm. Even though, quite honestly, arguably and debatably, it may be the best MCU movie.
Yeah, for sure.
It's crazy. It's honestly crazy. Anyway, I did actually, you know, you stumbled on something that I wanted to share. And this is kind of an idea I had about something that Marvel and Disney Plus could have done to really capitalize on. You know, I feel like it kind of is the perfect marriage between like what they want their MCU properties to do on the streaming service, and then also what could be really interesting to explore creatively. And I feel like in retrospect, they should have had the hindsight to have done this. Now, what I'm thinking of is a TV show. Let's just say like a sample name, Avengers Assemble, but not really Avengers Assemble. It's like whatever it is. I know it's a catchphrase or whatever, but it's not really like the point. Mm. It's a stand-in title. Now, I don't know if you could have facilitated this in live action, although I think that you could have, because that would have, you know, you would have had the actors to work with. But if need be, an animated version would have sufficed as well. And that would be, you know, basically an anthology-like series set place in the MCU, not serialized, so we wouldn't be following a group of main characters, but every episode we would be hopping to a different place in the MCU, catching up with this particular person. Because I think as we were already in this place back in 2019, but even more so now in 2022, where there are too many characters that we go so many years and we hear nothing and see nothing of them. And if you had like had the foresight to establish a show like this, where by necessity and by its very structure we would have been forced to, like, you know, go back and forth between certain characters, you wouldn't have had this issue of like, okay, but what is this universe? Who's active in this universe? Who are the Avengers even? Like, a lot of this could have, a lot of these issues could have been solved if you have just had this show. Now again, either animation or live action. For my whole thing is, what I'm thinking in my head is, well, in 2019, when you debuted Disney Plus and you also had Avengers Endgame, you know, come out in theaters, why not have had, let's say, 10 episodes on 10 individual stories of characters who were alive during the snap? Those 5 years in between Infinity War and the end of Endgame, basically. And let's take some time and explore who these characters were and what they went through realistically during that time. You can have a whole episode with the Ronin, actually the Ronin, seeing his descent into that. You can have a whole episode basically on Hulk's entire arc that was just brushed over in Endgame, like how he became, you know, Smart Hulk or Professor Hulk, how you want to like say it. We're going to have a whole episode about Natasha becoming the de facto leader of the Avengers because everybody was gone. A whole episode with Steve just like struggling to find a purpose in this new reality after he's been so, you know, crushed, and him mourning the loss of his two best friends in one go. We have a whole episode of Tony, you know, marrying Pepper and having a kid. Or Thor, you know, in his descent into just absolute depression. You know, Danai Gurira could come back as, you know, General Okoye, and her becoming the de facto leader of Wakanda. A whole episode with, you know, Rocket and Nebula and them having to form some kind of relationship in spite of all of their family getting, like, blown away out of existence. I think the ideas were there. to explore who these people could have been. You would have given these actors more time to show off their chops, for lack of a better term. And again, I can understand that maybe a whole live action would have been too big of a scale. And I'm not, but the thing is, I'm not suggesting that this would have been something that would have been VFX heavy in the first place. No, I think the whole notion of these stories having taken place in between the snap and the blip would have, you know, indicated that we don't need, you know, explosions. We don't need special effects. All we need is these actors, like, giving us some great moments with these characters. Mm-hmm. And again, that's just, like, the tip of the iceberg. You could have gone so much more into, like, let's say right now we had, like, a season three. All right, well, let's look at where what else do we need to do to make up for how underutilized some characters are. For instance, we mentioned last week, I believe, or yeah, it was last week, that Thor Love and Thunder had a cut storyline between Val and Lady Sif, that they were seriously looking to explore a romance between those two characters. First of all, I'm mad as hell that that was cut out completely, because I think it would have helped the film a lot. Mm-hmm. But if you had, let's say, a show like I'm suggesting in place, maybe you could have saved it for that show, and we could have had a whole episode of TV of Val and Lady Sif basically becoming a thing. We could have had more time with, like, the Mighty Thor, you know, Jane Foster, if we had that show. For all of the issues, maybe this show could have solved the problem. You know, basically, I want the MCU to make better films. Mm-hmm. I want them to get over their worst tendencies. I want them to stop basically underutilizing characters and cutting out backstory. But with a show like this that I'm suggesting having, if it did exist, maybe you could have, like, not had an issue of people being so thrown off between the Wanda and WandaVision and the Wanda and Multiverse of Madness. If you had this show, maybe you could have built up Wanda's descent into villainy completely. Mm-hmm. If you had this in place. Again, what this show could have done for the MCU is to actually provide context, is to actually build character, because they seem unwilling, quite frankly, to do so in just the Disney Plus shows that we have right now, and then also even more so in the films. So I think the more I think about it, the more good a show like this, if it had debuted back in 2019, could have given the creators, could have given the characters especially, more to do so. What you suggested, we could have had James Gunn come in here and written and directed a whole As Guardians of the Galaxy episode. My idea is basically Marvel one-shots,
yeah,
but just in a season. And I think that I would love to see that. And considering how much you tease in all of these movies and all of these Disney Plus shows, it just seems to me like a no-brainer. And again, preferably live action, because then you would have the actors to work with. But if you can't do that because of scheduling, well, you also have the animation route. And I think that idea, and I know it sounds self-centered because, like, oh, well, I came up with this idea, and of course that's what I would like to see. But genuinely speaking, that's what I would like to see. I want to see these characters in this universe. I want to know what this universe is. And I think if you had a show like this, I don't think I would be having anywhere near the massive issues that I have right now with the MCU.
That's honestly the annoying thing about that whole presentation, is just that discussion of multiverse, like that, Spider-Man freshman year show. Like, I really thought we were gonna, I really wouldn't have minded seeing the beginnings of Peter Parker, like Tom Holland's Peter Parker, you know, figuring out his powers, figuring out the swinging of it and everything, trying to balance out hiding his powers from Aunt May, but also high school and all that. You know, like, you could have had like a whole season where he's trying to become friends with Ned or something in that freshman year, and you know, he finally, by the end, he was able to balance it out, and then you just ended off with him going home and he sees Tony Stark in his living room and all that. Like, you could have, it could have been a cool one, short series and all that, and that's it. But then now they're adding everything else on it. They're making animated, which it would have been fine if it was just like a standalone thing, you know, like not part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But no, they want to connect it somehow to the Marvel Cinematic Universe but then also not really connected to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And it's kind of like, why are you making this so complicated for yourselves? Like, this makes no sense at all, trying to do this thing. I mean, that's just the thing. It's just they keep making things so complicated for themselves, even though, like, the structure is right there. Like, it's literally right in front of you. If like, any one of us here can go, we're making a Falcon Winter Soldier show, and we can go, okay, you can do this, this, and this, and this. And when we watch the show, it's just something completely different. And we're kind of like, why would you do that? Like, there's nothing wrong going about the first idea that you go with, because it helps them prolong this whole cinematic universe, you know, getting into these little details. Like, I really thought Falcon Winter Soldier we're going to get with the whole Accords thing, how the world is affected from the blip and all that. But no, I didn't mind that it was about...
They touched on it, but it didn't come anywhere near to a solution. Mm-hmm. And again, that may have been okay if we had gotten a season two by now.
Mm-hmm.
Or a multi-season series. Again, my overall... Another issue I have is the complete wasted potential with a lot of these Disney Plus shows. And again, not having either the desire or the foresight to understand that some of these shows, like Ms. Marvel and Moon Knight particularly, are worth exploring with multi-season stories, not just a six-episode event. Mm-hmm. You know? That's my issue. One of my many issues I have with them, and I think you're correct. But on that Spider-Man thing, because I do have some thoughts on that, and I am disappointed about that, even though, because that was one of the few things I was actually looking forward to. But let me just say this. The idea of a Spider-Man animated series, a new Spider-Man animated series by itself that has no relation to the MCU, I don't think is a bad idea. Mm-hmm. Because there have been so many already, like, animated Spider-Man series that have been so good in their own right, and I just feel like another iteration of it is good. Mm-hmm. Good. I mean, I think Peter Parker's a very good character, very popular at that. There's so many stories to tell with him, so you want to do another one? Sure. Okay. There's nothing inherently wrong about that idea, and I also want to stress, there's nothing inherently wrong either with Marvel Studios, you know, investing in projects that are not related to the MCU, to their main continuity. But as you said, there is a bit of a twist here with the premise of the show that still, like, they can't help themselves, but also wanting to be somewhat related to the MCU. That way people can get, like, they don't want to, like, say flat out that the show isn't canon, quote unquote mm-hmm. canon. Again, because it has, like, a bad name, like, when you're not in canon, because then you get the whole, oh, well, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. stink on you, or, like, oh, well, you really don't matter to this overall, like, mosaic of stories. That's why, and that's what Marvel's all about, which is why they don't want to say up front, like, what's going on with Spider-Man freshman year. So I want to get that out of the way with. But I also want to say I was looking forward to the show because I genuinely think Tom Holland as Spider-Man is perfect casting. Mm-hmm. And I enjoy him immensely in all three of his movies. And all three of his films, there is stuff in them that I like and I enjoy. But at the same time, looking at all three of his movies, there is, like, a chasm of missed opportunity after missed opportunity. And I would say baffling creative decisions that I think stifled the overall potential of three movies already that they've had with Tom Holland. And I think, again, many of those issues could have been addressed and maybe even resolved if you told a story with him about his origin story, which they've never really cared to address. And so, admittedly, when this was announced first back in 2021 that, oh, a show seeing how Tom Holland's Peter Parker would get his powers and him and his whole first year, that's intriguing to me because this is a Spider-Man I want to know more about because I feel like that kind of speaks to how little the films have done to really get me to know that much about this character. And I think a show now, realistically speaking, a live action Spider-Man TV show on Disney Plus would never work because Sony would never allow that. They're much too anal about Spider-Man to begin with. And then also, Tom Holland is so incredibly busy.
Mm-hmm.
all over the place. That just wouldn't happen. It wouldn't work realistically. Also, he's 26 now. At this point, he wouldn't, like, he started, like, doing Spider-Man when he was, like, 19 or 20, I believe, or 20, yeah, 20 or 21. He still has a very youthful appearance, but he's also, time has passed. So an animated series would have worked just fine. I have no issue with the animated series. But then out of nowhere, things changed, right? Because what has become evidently clear at this point is this is not the MCU Peter Parker. This is a variant, shall we say. And as one article described, it's basically another What If spinoff, where, like, what if instead of Tony Stark being the mentor to Peter Parker, it's now Norman Osborn? Which, I will say, it's not an altogether, like, bad idea. It's not. It's actually a pretty interesting twist. However, I hope this doesn't come across as, like, just another gimmick here. Although I will say, it's already been renewed for a second season. So at least they're thinking about the show more than just, like, a one-off here. And there's maybe more of a point and a purpose to it. I guess we'll see. So I'm torn a little bit, if I'm honest with you. Like, I'm in favor of more projects not having to be so interconnected, but at the same time, I think the original idea for what this show was supposed to be was genuinely kind of interesting and actually something I wanted to see. And so I am disappointed on one level that I'm not going to be able to get that, because I want to really get more into this MCU Peter Parker. I don't know why plans changed. I hope it wasn't Sony getting involved and them, like, not being okay, even though Disney's made several Spider-Man animated series at this point. I don't know what's going on, to be honest with you, why they changed plans. All I know is they very clearly changed plans, and I'll catch it when it comes out. But it's like, I don't know. I also do want to see, like, considering that there've been already so many, like, animated Peter Parker stories, I do wish, and maybe they will, take some more, you know, creative liberties with, like, this version of Peter Parker. Show us some new stuff. Like, considering how much crap Disney gets for their faux pas wokeness, quote unquote. And I don't use wokeness in the way the alt-right uses it. I want to be clear about that. But the idea that they're now including more LGBTQ characters here and there. Good. We want to see more of that. Great. But they still get criticized for them doing the bare minimum when it comes to, like, giving people the actual representation they actually want, right? Well, why not make this Peter Parker gay? You know, have we seen that story told before? Maybe in the comics, but have we seen that in like, in any of the shows or live action stuff?
No.
Not really, no. Do it. Why not? Let's see it. Give us something new to latch on to, right? I guess for whatever it's worth, we have, like, a race-bent Norman Osborn and Harry Osborn. They're black, right? Here from what? So I'm happy to have the Osborns back. So there's that, you know? And there's no MJ and there's no Ned. So I'm happy they're exploring different characters. I'm happy it's not like What If is, where if this was an episode of What If, it would be MJ. It would be Ned. It would be the exact same thing, but only slightly different. So I hope it means they'll take more risks and not just, like, stay more to what the MCU usually is, you know? Yeah. But it does make me feel a little bit sad, because I really would have liked to have seen this Peter Parker got – the MCU Peter Parker get his powers and how that first year was for him.
Yeah. And, I mean, again, it's just – the thing that's bothering me is just that they're all like, this is the Spider-Man that you know, but it's just an alternate take. And I'm like
– yeah.
Just make it completely different. It's totally fine.
Yeah. Also, you also touched on something else, whereas this whole multiversal thing that's getting annoying – well, they literally named phases 4 through 6 the multiversal saga. And, you know, I feel like Peter and I were one of the first people to really, like, poo-poo this idea of, like, them going into the multiverse as, like, really, this is what you're going to do? And we couldn't have been more right when we said this was, like, Marvel's next gimmick. Because they're literally making three of their phases the multiversal saga.
I mean, I didn't mind it at first, but mostly because, you know, they wanted to bring in characters. Because I honestly thought they were going to bring in, like, the X-Men characters or some other character franchise that they don't have, like, into this whole thing, you know, and just maybe hopefully do the whole...
Well, I guess they did, David, because, I mean, if we're going to go off the idea that the X-Men and the mutants originated from Ms. Marvel and the Jinn having crossed over from the multiverse, then I guess that does mean some way, somehow, the X-Men did originate through the multiverse, right? Mm-hmm.
But the thing that kind of, like, now bothers me is just they're not having fun with it. Multiverse of Madness was supposed to be the one where we're like, okay, let's see something different. Let's see, like, what they can come up with. And then we just do this montage of going through the multiverse, and then we just end up in one where it's just, people go on red lights. balls.
That's an example of Marvel, like, overpromising and not delivering. Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you know, I saw a video and people said, like, oh, it would have been hilarious if they put William Shatner as Professor X in Multiverse of Madness. Because, like, you know.
Right, Star Trek.
Yeah. And I was like, dang, that would have been hilarious. Like, you know, people were all mad, like, because they killed off the characters in that other universe and all that. Like, it's like, oh, it's disrespectful. But I'm kind of like, no, like, it's an alternate universe. We're probably never going to come back here. Like, again, have fun.
They were mad because it was a fuck you to them and what they wanted this movie to be. Let's be real.
Yeah, that too.
That's why they were mad.
But, like, I would have been all in with just them making a joke about it. Like, it's fine.
Well, it seems like, look, this whole thing has been building to Avengers Secret Wars, which, if you listen to our last podcast, it should tell you exactly what it's about. It's just a big universal, multi-universal battle. Okay.
I mean, again, that would be fine, but just have fun with it. I don't just want, you know, oh, it's they're fighting themselves, but they're evil. Like, no, make a combination. Make, you know, what is it? Like, there's a universe where Ghost Rider and Spider-Man combined and all that. Like, that could be fun. As long as it's fun or something.
Mm-hmm.
So.
So what other projects did you...
She-Hulk looks fine. I think I might find it funny. Who knows? But we'll see. Black Panther 2. That one's just... I wouldn't say I'm worried. It's just... I'm just more so curious, I guess. Because it's just a big thing they have to tackle.
Right.
And so... And I mean, the...
Yeah, it's Black Panther 2, but no Black Panther, yeah. Really. I mean, T'Challa's not in it, so.
So, I'm just...
Yeah, it is a curious thing to see, although I did like that trailer. It did catch my interest.
I loved the trailer, I thought. I mean, just, like, from a trailer, just a trailer by itself, you know, like, the way the music worked, the cuts of some scenes.
The visuals were so good.
I noticed, is like, I was like, where's the green screen here? I can't. Like... I can't see
that's
it.
That's how used to we are about the damned green screen Marvel movies. Like, huh, I didn't see any green screen there. Well, hey, don't speak too soon. You still got a couple months till the movie comes out. They can always go back and fuck it up, which is what they did with the first Black Panther.
I don't know. I feel like this is the one that we're kind of like don't have to worry about much, at least from like a VFX standpoint, because
I hope you're right.
And it's just because it's a big, again, it's a big thing they're tackling. I feel like they want to be careful about it. And so, because, you know, with Love and Thunder, or like basically all the other ones, they're kind of like, who cares? Like, you know, let's just, we got to make changes. Oh, well. But this one, though, it's like, nah, you better fucking do it right for Chadwick, bitch. So.
Right, basically. And because of all of that, I do wonder, considering that the first film, you know, clicked so well with Academy voters. I wonder if because I'm thinking this movie is going to be even better than the first one. I think easily, considering like what I see from the trailer. I wonder if this film gets back to a Best Picture nomination again.
Hopefully.
Again, we'll see how the terrain goes, but yeah. Black Panther seems genuinely interesting in a way that I didn't at all take into account before that trailer. After the trailer, okay, I want to see this movie and I'm actually looking forward to it now. So again, that's a positive aspect here. All right. I literally don't see the point of Ant-Man and the Wasp getting a sequel.
I mean, I don't mind it because I okay, so there's a lot of stuff here. One, I don't like the fact that they're introducing Kang in this one. I gotta watch it first, obviously, to, you know, see what happens. But I just don't understand why it's gotta be on Ant-Man's movie to introduce him and not in an Avengers movie. Like, I mean, we didn't really get introduced to Thanos until Infinity War. Yeah, there was the Guardians one, but, you know, it was nothing. It was just like, I'm evil. Do what I say and that's it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't really need to see Kang in any of these movies.
Right.
And then the only thing that I was looking forward to was the dynamic between Scott and his daughter, because like I was very curious, like, how was she alone in those 5 years? You know, was she like in some foster home or orphanage? Like, you know, how is he going to reconnect with his daughter? And then come to find out that he's not really reconnecting with his daughter. He's all about the fame. And I'm like, okay.
I mean, that premise that they revealed, which is Scott Lang becoming so self-obsessed that he's pushing away Hope and Cassie, I feel that already tells you, it kind of gives away how vapid and surface level this movie is going to be.
Mm-hmm. I don't mind that he becomes famous. Like, you know, when they in Ms. Marvel, when they mentioned that he has his own podcast and everything, like,
sure.
I feel like that makes sense for this character in the movie. Like, it makes sense that he would probably do this. But I feel like he would have done it because he gets money and now he has a home that he can live with his daughter. That's what I imagined that he would do.
Mm-hmm.
But now I don't know what he's doing with this fame. Like, I mean, they're saying he's self-absorbed and all that. But I thought it was going to be something different, you know?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't really care either. Yeah. So, what else piqued your interest or didn't of the Marvel stuff that was announced?
Iron Groot looks cute. That one I am looking forward to. What else did they announce?
Oh yeah, there's the Ironheart show.
Ironheart. I like that they're changing her origin. She's probably from Wakanda. Who knows what exactly it is, but from what I heard, that her origin, she stole the Iron Man suit and just basically made it her own. And I didn't like that. I thought,
I mean, that's basically War Machine.
Yeah, it's literally War. Holy shit, it is. I didn't think
that's what it
is.
Oh
my god, that's funny.
Which I did hear, by the way, I know rumors, whatever, but like I did hear that War Machine has been added to the Secret Invasion show as a main character in the extensive rewrites and reshoots that they're doing right now. We did mention, of course, we have 4 months of reshoots, and Grace Randolph says they're adding in more Skrulls, and War Machine could be one of those Skrulls.
Mm. That's fine.
So, yeah. Again, still don't know what the show really is, but it's there. It's out there. I guess... we'll see what all that's about. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I guess at D23, this is one aspect of this we didn't really mention, but at D23, they are going to fill in a lot more of those empty spaces for Phase 6, I would think. And, I guess we'll see what happens there. I would expect a lot more Shang-Chi on Phase 6's slate that was announced at Comic-Con. So, overall, as I mentioned before, Marvel's not doing it for me anymore. Nothing that was presented gives me a reason to care. And it's even more disappointing because, like, nothing in that slate is what I want to see. Like, I want to see more Moon Knight. was nowhere to be seen. Mm-hmm. I want to see more Miss Marvel. No. I want more Wanda. Absolutely nothing. I'd love another Thor movie. No. No mention there. Okay. Well, what else do you got for me? Echo. No. No. Agatha? No, thank mm-hmm. you. Ironheart? Do not care. Ideally, you could do a lot with Daredevil.
Yeah.
Daredevil Born Again. But we know. We just know deep down. Whatever that's going to be, it ain't going to be as good as it used to mm-hmm. be. Did you have any thoughts on the whole Daredevil stuff?
I'm just, again, I don't understand why they're making things so complicated. I mean, I heard it was contract issues and all that, but, you know, why not get the writers from the Netflix show? Just...
Especially since you already hired alumni from the Daredevil writing team to write Echo.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, he's going to be in it. So, I mean, that's probably just the one good thing. And maybe we can expect just, something yeah, good.
Yeah, but don't do that and then just do the Daredevil show. Like, Kevin Feige has to be smarter than this, mm-hmm. right? Like, he has to know that a version of Daredevil that is more in line with what he's known for doing instead of what the brilliance of the Netflix iteration gave us. He has to know... That's not going to go over well. And what makes me even more worried, 18 episodes?
Yeah.
Did you not get the memo that people were already complaining that that the seasons were already too long at 13? Mm-hmm. But you made 18? Peter was right, maybe probably half hour episodes.
If it's that, then that's probably fine, but...
Okay, but still, it's like, why does this get 18 and not Miss mm-hmm. Marvel? Miss Marvel needed 18 episodes, but you fucking threw her to the fire. That's why I was so pissed. Also, it's not going to be TVMA. So that's another thing. Like, it just goes against the show completely. So again, it's like, I ask people, why are you excited when you already know this new version is going to be a far cry beneath what you loved? A lot of people, I think it's like, I don't know why they think this, even though I think the signs are pretty clear. People, I feel, legit expect this to be the same show they loved on Netflix. It may have the same actors. It's the same characters and the same setting. But make no mistake, people, this is not going to be the same mm-hmm. show. Not even remotely. So, yeah. But I guess we'll see Matt Murdock pretty soon in She-Hulk, and we'll see. And again, the issue is not going to be fucking Charlie Cox. He's amazing as that mm-hmm. character. The issue isn't going to be Vincent D'Onofrio as Kingpin. The issue is the writing. Ultimately, that's what it comes down to. The issue is, what is it that Kevin Feige, what is his vision for what this show is supposed to be? Right? Mm-hmm. That's what it comes down to. So, that's where we are with Daredevil. I don't know, man. I feel like that's kind of about it. I do want to say, in regards to... Oh, yes. So, you said that you listened to the whole 4.5 hour... conversation. There was a little bit of, there's a section at the last hour that involves rumors regarding S.H.I.E.L.D. I also, and since you listened to it, recorded something like a 5-minute thing that I inserted at the end of that conversation to add more context to what was going on. So listen, again, to have an actual discussion on it. The creator and showrunner of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marissa Tancharoen, and make no mistake, she was the boss when it comes to every decision made on that show. So was Jed, her husband, but she was the boss. Which makes me wonder, how come they're not referred to as the Whedons?
Mm-hmm.
They're a couple. They're married. So, I mean, you know, you have the Russos, you have the Daniels, you call them the Whedons. Mm. I don't know. It's maybe easier, but Marissa Tancheroen, I guess. Some people can't pronounce. Anyway, I even saw that Screen Rant, like, misspelled her name, too. That was offensive. Really, of all things, but all right. Anyway, if there's anything involving S.H.I.E.L.D., she knows, or she would know. And considering how close the Whedon family is to Marvel, yeah, it would make sense that she would know what's happening with characters that she created or she, you know, was involved with for 7 years. Okay. So, previously, we were discussing rumors by a relatively new self-proclaimed scooper called The Watcher, somebody who no longer exists. So that already, he doesn't, because I believe he deleted his account the day that Marissa Tancheroen came out and responded to an article that featured his rumors. And part of what this person, The Watcher, was saying was that she and her husband, Jed, had been contacted by Marvel Studios to make sure they were okay with the idea that Chloe Bennett's character Daisy Johnson would be used and that her origins would not be 100% exactly with what they were on the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show. That was just one aspect of the overall rumor, and the rumor that this scooper was saying is, yes, Chloe Bennett's coming back, yes, it's Daisy Johnson. However, they kept changing. At first, in these rumors, he was saying that the origin would be changed. Then a week later, he changed that. Or he, she, they, I don't know what the pronouns are for this person. I don't know. They clarified that it turns out they weren't going to change Daisy's origins, that they were going to be kept vague, kind of like what they're doing with Daredevil and like his whole past when it comes to the three seasons with the Netflix show. Well, you could certainly see how a lot of people were like a little bit suspicious about what this was and like how, you know, things kept changing here and there. Marissa Tancheroen went to Twitter and responded to an article that had his leaks and said, basically, gave our blessing, quote unquote, which is what this person was saying. First, I heard of this. Basically, just denying a key aspect of those rumors, which all but completely call into question whether any of what this person was saying had any validity to begin with. And it even makes it look more suspicious that this person just took down their entire account. So, yeah, that's a bad look. Yeah. And I don't know what it really means, but I'm going to say it's not an altogether disaster, because I think, like, what did we learn by having these rumors out there? I think we learned a lot that people aren't willing to admit to themselves. So here comes a rant. That wasn't clear. First of all, and you tell me, David, if you think otherwise. But putting aside this Watcher's rumors to the side, we have to really just disregard a lot of them now because, well, for obvious reasons. But we need to be clear. This person was only like the 1,000th person out there that was saying, that claims to have sources to people close to Marvel. But it has been true that ever since January of 2021, there have been persistent rumors that Chloe Bennett would come back as that character in upcoming projects, namely Secret Invasion. Now, Chloe Bennett has denied this, mainly because evidently she was being harassed about it in person, about her upcoming appearance in Secret Invasion, which is not cool, which is why she went to Instagram and took those rumors down, or, you know, knocked them down a peg, as they say. Well, those rumors haven't gone away, and it should not be lost on people that in the articles that were written about the Watchers, quote-unquote, scoops, there were also mentions to other quote-unquote scoopers who have far more reputable a far more reputable track record and background and getting more things right than wrong. So the point is, I don't feel this completely makes it go away, because I mean the possibility of Daisy Johnson coming back, because the one rumor that has been consistent at this point and by many other people is that some way, somehow, Chloe Bennett is coming back. Now, could all that be fake? Sure. Who knows? We don't know anything. All we know is like what we read and what we see. But what did we learn about the Watchers leaks? Let's just say let's take into consideration what this person was saying. Considering how Kevin Feige is handling Daredevil and that he is going to treat him and his whole past in the Daredevil 3 seasons as vaguely as possible, I think here's the key. They're going to be vague, but they're not going to contradict. So what I'm betting we're going to see with Daredevil, not just in his show, but then also his appearances in She-Hulk and Echo, they're not going to contradict anything that happened in the Daredevil TV show. But they're also not going to bring it up. They're going to be very vague about it. And if that's true, then I still think the best and easy way was to just integrate that mythology into your MCU. There's no reason why that can't happen, in my view. But fine. This is the next best option. Is they won't talk about what happened, but they won't openly contradict what happened in that show either. And I think that's what they're going to do with Daredevil. If they ever do bring back Chloe Bennett as Daisy Johnson, I would wager that's exactly the same way they would handle her. Is they're not going to call her inhuman. They may not even call her mutant. She just shows up and she has powers. And then we go from there. And that's all we need. And again, we're being hypothetical here. I find that approach far more preferable than her being called outright a mutant. Now, here's the thing. This is what Marvel wants you to think. They want to kind of trick you into thinking that these versions are the exact same versions from their other TV shows. So they're not going to openly contradict anything. But at the same time, Kevin Feige has to have his way. And he basically, they're tiptoeing a fine line. They're treating these versions as variants to the actual characters you saw in their respective TV shows. But they don't want to make you think of them as variants. They want to make you think of them as the actual characters. David, does this make sense to you? Am I being clear about, and how do you react if this is true, that this is how they would handle Daisy if they ever bring her back?
I mean, I think I mentioned it. I really don't mind it if it's just they're vague about her background and everything. I just don't want her to be like introduced basically when she comes on. Like, I don't want this like, hi, I'm Daisy Johnson, I'm an inhuman or mutant or whatever, you know? Like, it's fine if it just Samuel Jackson's is in this, you know, if he's just like, this is Daisy, listen to her, something like that. I don't know. Just kind of like, she's just there. That's all I really want, honestly. If they have to change her from inhuman to mutant or something like that,
that's more complicated. It's a little bit more complicated,
yeah, because like the whole point is that she accepts the fact that she's an inhuman and all that, and she's dealt with like those people that hate inhumans and all that. But at the same time, you know, I'm sure they just didn't expect them to be in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, like in the movies, basically, and all that. And so, yeah, sure, they just gonna have to change some stuff. I get that. Although they could have done it in Endgame. easily. Yes, like no explanation at all. It would have been totally fine. but whatever. But yeah.
Yeah, it sounds to me that the vague approach is the best option here, whether against making her a mutant. I agree with you on that. Where she just shows up, and then we just move on. We don't need to address her origin. She's just there. She has powers. Let's go. That would be the best way of doing it. I've seen a lot of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans on Twitter react in a very hostile manner to the Watcher. Not because, you know, it may have turned out that like the things that this person was saying was fake, but before it was made clear that this person may have not had the most reliable information, when they first dropped this on Twitter, a lot of fans came at him with like, "You're wrong. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is MCU. It's canon. It's going to be the exact same version." And look, again, I don't think you'll find a bigger Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fan than me. But I feel like if you're a S.H.I.E.L.D. fan and if you seriously think that that's the way Kevin Feige views Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s relation to his MCU, you're deluding yourself. That's not going to happen. If you're waiting for an official statement that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is official MCU canon, you're never going to get that. It's just not going to happen. And I feel like you need to, as fans of this show, kind of reorient your priorities here. I feel like being so against them doing anything with Daisy just because it's not like the same version gets in the way of the potential good that can come out of this. Think of what good this would do for Chloe Bennett's career if she gets asked back to be in Marvel projects as Quake. Think Chloe Bennett is a talent that quite frankly is not, you know, being utilized to her best potential, you know, post Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. If she was asked to come back here, imagine the doors that would open for her as an actor in this business. First of all, that's the first thing. Second, does it not occur to you how much good this would do to the popularity of the character and the popularity of the old TV show? If Chloe Bennett comes back as Daisy, in any capacity whatsoever, in these new MCU projects, does it not occur to you that that would, you know, flow traffic back to those 7 seasons that are sitting right on Disney Plus? And look, as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans, you should know a lot of people abandoned this show because they couldn't get past the first few episodes. Understandable, I get you, fine. And if you've been looking for a way to get people back into this series and to actually give it a chance, what better way is there than to have the star of the show come back into the MCU with these bigger projects? That's going to draw attention back to those old seasons and traffic back to those old seasons. And it would raise the profile and the popularity of the show. It would draw numbers on Disney Plus if they do that. So I'm just thinking of the overall legacy of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. now, after completed 7 seasons. There could be nothing better for its legacy if Kevin Feige, in fact, did ask Chloe Bennett to come back and be in the MCU as Quake. Sure, let's say it's a variant Quake. Who cares, right? It's what Peter said. If she acts the same way, if she sounds the same way, if she looks almost the same way, what does it matter? If you care about that character, if you care about the actors on that show, if you care about that show, you should be more than open to Kevin Feige even willing to allow any of those people from that show into his MCU. That's where I'm at this point. Is, again, David agrees with me and I agree with you. Like, the preferred way of doing this was to incorporate the mythology of S.H.I.E.L.D. into the MCU. Mm-hmm. Right? That's the preferred way of doing it. But clearly, they don't want to do that. So what's the next best option here? The next best option is they bring her back and they're kept her origins vague, because then the next best option after that is, well, they change it completely and then they begin to contradict things that happen on that show. which I don't think as a fan of the show you would want to happen, would you? No. It would be far preferable if they just don't even address it instead of contradicting it. Hector Navarro on Heroes Reforged brought this point up a long time ago, which is with Kevin Feige, is that he hopes that with his versions of these characters from the Netflix and S.H.I.E.L.D. eras, yeah, just don't talk about it, but don't contradict what came before the fact. And from a business standpoint, I think it also helps that case, because why would you want to contradict what happened before the fact if you want all those Netflix shows and S.H.I.E.L.D. that you acquired for Disney Plus? You want those shows to continue to remain bingeable content. Well, you're not going to do yourself any favors if you then contradict the events of those shows in your new MCU. So all of these rumors have kind of helped to make things a lot more clear in my view of how things would look like if they do in fact decide to use Quake. Did all that make sense, David?
It all makes sense and everything. But yeah, no, it's just I wanted her to be in the MCU. Again, you know, if in Endgame, you know, she comes out of the portal with everyone else, or if she was, or if, you know, they were the ones, if it was the helicarrier that was like coming down from the sky instead of Captain Marvel, and on top of it, you see Daisy, like that would have been completely fine with me. Like, I don't care if like half the audience in the theater were like, what the fuck is that? You know, it's like, I don't give a shit. Like, I saw this show, that's for me right there. You know, that's all I wanted. And so with this show, or with Secret Invasion, you know, if she just comes in, goes, hey, this is the mission, that's all I want.
Especially since, you know, we're now at a time in which Marvel Studios and Kevin Feige do not give a fuck if you're lost, if you don't watch the Disney Plus shows. Because a lot of people were lost about what happened with Wanda, because they did not watch WandaVision when they were watching Multiverse of Madness. Like, wait, what the fuck? I had to watch the show? Yeah, you had to watch the show. If you didn't watch that show, you didn't get anything that was going on. I mean, you got like, oh yeah, there was a story where she had a family and whatever. But you don't really get the effect if you didn't watch the show.
Yeah.
Which is not what Marvel has decided they're going to do now. Which is something that they were warned about not doing. But they're doing anyways.
Again, I mean, if it was in an Avengers movie, that would have been fine for me. Because I feel like Avengers, you know, you still have to write it in a way that, like, you didn't see the other movies.
Right.
So you have to explain some stuff. But either way, though, like, for the Avengers movies are the ones that, like, if you saw all of them, great. You're going to love this. But when they did that in Doctor Strange, I didn't like that at all.
Yeah, yeah, there is that. Anyway, I do also want to say, though, before we go, The Flash was just confirmed to be ending with its 9th season of 13 episodes, coming either later this year or early next year. I don't remember what they said, but The Flash is supposed to be the end of the Arrowverse. Mm-hmm. We knew this was coming. David, your reaction?
It's gonna sound mean, but like, about time. I love The Flash and everything, and these last maybe 2 seasons they were fine. It's just CW, they don't put money in their VFX, they look really bad, and just, you can kind of tell that Grant Gustin, the main actor, like, he's kind of done with this show. Like, you can see it, honestly, in his performance.
I mean, it's been basically a decade of his life. Yeah,
and so it's just, you know, I'm kind of glad it's ending. Hopefully it's a good ending, you know, one I can hopefully see a difference in his performance in this one. But yeah, I was sad that they canceled Legends of Tomorrow. That's the only one that I feel like could have gone on forever, because it's just it's such a wacky show, but like, they do a good job at kind of developing these characters. Like, it's just,
I would think it would do well on streaming. I would say that would be a primary candidate and move over to HBO Max, give it a bigger budget. But then again, there will be no more HBO Max, so I guess there goes that. the CW in general is just not going to be a thing anymore. One of the things under the new regime is it's being sold off. I don't know whoever will buy the CW, but I would be very concerned about what that means for, of all things, Superman and Lois.
And Stargirl. No one's talking about that. but that's...
I forgot that even existed. Is that HBO Max or CW?
It's CW. Yeah.
Okay.
But that one's also a really good show, honestly. But yeah, Superman and Lois, like, it's honestly a fantastic show. And it would honestly be a waste to get rid of that.
Yeah, especially at this point.
I mean, there's a lot of things that would be a waste for Warner Brothers.
Yeah, literally, from what this, you know, the what this could mean, basically. Oh, yeah. But yeah, that's kind of where we are. Anything else to say?
The only movie that I got excited that they showed in Comic-Con was the Dungeons and Dragons movie.
Really? I forgot that was even a thing.
I mean, it just looks like fun, you know? Like, they're gonna have some cool action stuff and everything, and Chris Pine and all the other actors in it, like, they just look like they're gonna be fun to watch.
Right. Anything to say about House of the Dragon or the new Rings trailer?
Not that interested. No. Yeah. Not a big...
They're all coming out this month, apparently.
That's cool. Yeah. I mean, I'm just not a big Lord of the Rings fans, and Game of Thrones left a sour taste.
Yep. I mean, you could say that again. Keep saying it. Game of Thrones ended... Honestly, I think it's one of the worst endings ever.
Probably.
Sorry, Alexis, I know you like it, but... Yeah. Anyway, that's all for today, folks. Thank you all for listening. As a reminder, you listen to our podcast every single Sunday, sometimes Thursdays, sometimes. Anywhere you listen to podcasts, Apple, Spotify, anywhere. Thank you, David, for being here. Thank you all for listening, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.